Today we are in week number two of this Fear Not series. There's going to be 4 weeks in it, but today is week number two. Last week we talked about healthy fear and unhealthy fear and the importance of recognizing the difference between them. And then we talked about how we should respond accordingly or appropriately to whether or not it is a healthy fear or an unhealthy fear. And I think we can all agree that those healthy fears, those things that kind of put us on alert, that are good things, that keep us safe, those are the types of fears that we want to hold on to. The unhealthy fears that immobilize us and that paralyze us are the ones that we need to be able to let go of. Last week we learned that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-discipline. So we learned that although we sometimes live in fear, that God did not give us that spirit of fear, so that is not from God. That means it can only be from one other source, and that is the enemy. Today, we're also going to be hearing from the Apostle Paul as we go just one step further into learning how to respond appropriately to unhealthy fear. For many of us, fear and anxiety are normal and everyday responses to the troubles that this life brings us. This life brings us many troubles, and a natural response for each and every one of us is to have some level of fear or anxiety. I think, though, that it is so deeply ingrained in our thinking sometimes that for some, fear or anxiety almost becomes habit-forming. It almost becomes a habit that you can't hardly let go of. It almost becomes like an addiction, if you will. And maybe for some, rightfully so, maybe you've had so much trouble and such a difficult life that fear has just a grip on you, and that it is crippling you. We have allowed fear or anxiety to creep in long before the circumstance even materializes. Because it's become a habit, we see something that's way off in the distance, and we already have an anxiety or a fear about it before we even know how it's going to play out. This habit of fear and anxiety is what creates in us pessimism, right? We see a situation way out there, and we already or automatically assume the worst. Why? Because fear and anxiety have become a habit for us. For the optimist, it's different. They see something out there far away, and they assume the best possible outcome. Those addicted by fear and anxiety see the worst possible outcome. This forces people to only see the potential dangers or downfalls of a similar situation, right? When they see the situation building, all they see is the potential danger and the potential downfall. They don't see a situation arising and see the potential blessing. See, the optimist, he sees the potential blessing in a situation that's popping up. The good news, however, is like any other habit, any other bad habit that we have, we can develop new ones or good habits in place of our bad habits. And I'm just going to say that having a habit of feeling fearful or anxiety is not a good habit. As I said last week, it immobilizes us, and it cripples us, and it paralyzes us, right? At the end of his letter to the Philippians, or to the Philippine church, the Apostle Paul gives numerous exhortations. And there are two verses in particular that provide a pretty simple formula. And again, these are verses that I'm sure you've heard before. You've probably recited them over and over to yourself in times of difficulty, but we're going to look at them again this morning. And this is what it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, what I said is this is a very simple formula. And I would paraphrase it this way. Give everything to God through prayer and expect peace in return. Essentially, that's what the text is saying. If you give everything that you have to God in prayer, you can expect peace in return. So I just want to walk through those couple verses for just a few minutes. So what is the, how do we free ourselves from fear and anxiety, right? Because that's really what we want to do. We want to be set free from fear and anxiety. Because I think that we can all agree that fear and anxiety are very closely related. They are kind of intimately related. One rarely exists without the other. If you have fear, you probably have anxiety. If you have anxiety, it's probably out of some sort of fear. They're kind of like two peas in a pod, and their outcomes on our life are often the same. They're debilitating, and they're paralyzing. We can also agree, I hope, or I believe, that living a life completely free from all fear and anxiety almost sounds too good to be true. Now, I get what the Apostle Paul is saying here, but come on. The whole idea that we can live without fear and without anxiety all the time, that just seems like way far out there and impossible when you live in the world that we live in, doesn't it? I mean, when we really think about it, but here's what I don't understand. We look at God's word and we believe what it says about our salvation. We believe that Christ died on the cross. The only reason we believe it is because God's word says it. We believe that we can live eternal life in heaven. And the only one reason we believe it is because God's word says it. We believe that God loves us, and the only reason we believe it is because his word says it. But then when he says we can live a life without fear, we choose not to believe that, it seems like. So it's like, why would we believe God's word about this, but not about that? But yet, we seem to do that. Paul almost sounds a little bit delusional when he says, do not be anxious about anything. I mean, how can Paul have the audacity to tell me not to have anxiety about anything? Does he not know what it's like to live in this world? Does he not know what it's like to live in this divisive culture? Does he not understand what life is really like? How dare him to tell me that I shouldn't ever be anxious about anything? Has Paul ever seen the rush hour traffic that I have to drive through on my way to work? Has he ever had to pay my mortgage, pay mortgage like I do? Has he ever had to live with social media? Has he ever had to live with ridiculously high healthcare deductibles? Or had his credit card account hacked? Has he ever had to live with any of these things? Probably not, because if he did, he wouldn't tell me not to be anxious, because there's plenty for me to be anxious about. He does not have any idea how difficult and troublesome it is to live in the world today. And while that is true, Paul lived a very different time from you and I. He didn't have mortgages. He didn't have the traffic that we didn't have. He didn't have to worry about his credit cards being hacked. He didn't have to worry about anything like that. Those things are all true. But I think Paul knows a little bit about trouble. It's just different trouble. And if you don't believe it, this is what he writes in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And this kind of gives him some credentials. This kind of says, okay, I guess he does have a right to speak about fear and anxiety, because this is what he says. It says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. How many times have you received 40 lashes? 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and I have known thirst, and I have oftentimes gone without food. I have been cold and I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Yeah, you're right. Paul didn't have a mortgage to worry about, and he didn't have rush hour traffic to worry about. But he had plenty of other things to worry about and plenty of other troubles that he faced in his life, many of which we will never know a thing about. Paul has as much experience with any trials and tribulations as you and I does. He's had ample opportunity to be scared out of his mind, and he's had ample opportunity to work through his own fear and anxiety. He says himself that he deals with the anxiety of the daily concern over the churches that he's worked with. In light of all of those things, this is what he says in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. I have learned that the secret of being content in every situation. He has learned to be content in every single situation. What if? What if Paul knew the secret to living a life free from fear and anxiety? Apparently he does. Apparently he did. Apparently he figured it out. What if he truly knew how to live a deeply content and satisfied life? He told us all the things that he dealt with, and then he tells us that he knew how to live a life of contentment in light of all those things. Wouldn't you want to know what he figured out? Wouldn't you want to know what he did? It's like anything else. If you want to be successful at something, the best thing to do is go find somebody that's been successful at it and do what they did, right? And so if you want to know how to live a life free of fear and anxiety, why wouldn't we do what Paul did? Because he figured it out. No need to reinvent the wheel all the time. If Paul's figured it out, it would be good for us to take a listen to what he says. Give it all to God. It's the first thing. Give it all to God. I know it sounds too simple, right? It sounds kind of Christian-y, right? It sounds a little too Christian. Just give it all to God. We say it all the time. Just let go and let God. This phrase just rolls from our mouth all the time, and we make it sound so simple. I know it feels like the answer should be more complicated than that, because the situation is so complex and the situation is so destructive that the solution has to be a lot harder than simply give it all to God. That's what we think in our own minds, right? The solution can't be that simple. The problem is so hard, it can't possibly have that simple of a solution. But it's true. It does. No, regardless of how deep and how hard the problem is, the solution is still a simple one. The secret that Paul learned about fear, anxiety, and worry is that they belong in the hands of God. Simply put, they belong in the hands of God and not in our hands, and not in your hands. The secret sauce, if you will, the key ingredient, you know, the colonel has his own secret recipe for his chicken, right? The secret sauce is gratitude, laced prayer in every situation, in every circumstance you find yourself in. And that's it. That's the secret. Gratitude laced in prayer in every single situation you are in. It's not that fear, anxiety, worry, or doubt, etc., don't exist. It's that they have a proper place. I mean, for me to sit here and tell you that fear and anxiety don't exist would be ridiculous, because they do. They're natural responses to situations in life. So for me to tell you they don't exist is crazy. But what I'm here to tell you is that they do exist, but they have a proper place. And that's what we have forgotten. That's what we forget. We forget to put them where they belong. We forget to put fear and anxiety where they belong. Think of it this way. What if the next time you went, I'm speaking now to men, I guess. I guess we could use the same example for women. Man, what if you went in your garage to work on a project one day, and you found that the day before that I went out and I took all your tools and I put them in the improper place? Man, it would drive you crazy. Can you imagine the level of anxiety that you would have when you found that your tools were put in the improper place? Women are laughing, but how about if I went in your kitchen and I put your pots and pans in different cupboards and different drawers and I moved your silverware, and the next time you went to cook or bake, man, your anxiety would be through the roof if I put the things in the improper place, right? And that's the same principle. It sounds so silly, but it is so true. When we allow fear and anxiety to be put in the improper place in our hands, it just adds fuel to the fire. So the difficulty, of course, is developing the habit in which you place those troublesome situations and circumstances in the hands of God, and instead of holding onto them yourself, right? Can I say that last part again? The difficulty is developing the habit in which you place those troublesome situations and circumstances into the hands of God. That's the hard part. The text says, make your requests known to God. I mean, so does that really mean that God doesn't know what they are ahead of time? Of course not. When you make your requests known to God, it's not like, oh, well, I didn't know that was happening in your life. Of course he does. One of the things I love about God is that he is not at all surprised by the way you feel. Earlier in the Old Testament, it says that he formed you and knit you together in the womb. It says that he numbered your days and that he knows every hair on your head. And I can guarantee you, he doesn't think that you're irrational for this fear of clowns, or think you're silly because you have a fear of clowns, or that you get anxiety, or that you have anxiety about getting cancer someday. He doesn't think that's silly. He created you. He knows you intimately. He knows every hair on your head. He doesn't think any of these fears or any of these phobias or anxiety are silly at all. In fact, he knows all about them before you even present them to him. But the Apostle Paul says, make your requests known to God. Because even though he knows all about them, he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. It says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's practice this one thing together. Your prayers and requests might sound something like this. Thank you, Lord, for the home that we have. Thank you for providing shelter, warmth, and protection from the sun and the rain. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage this month, but I know that you know how I'm going to pay it. Please calm our hearts and guide our steps. Why? Because it says in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How about this one? Thank you, Lord, from my dad. I love how hard he works and how every Saturday morning he brings donuts back for us. He's been drinking again, Lord, and I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen, and sometimes he gets really angry. Please help him, Lord, and please help keep him safe. So you see how this works? God knows, but he still wants to hear from us. He still wants to hear from us. Listen, that first prayer, that might be completely unrelatable to you. The second prayer regarding the father who is an alcoholic might be completely unrelatable to you. But you have your own prayers. You have your own situations. You have your own circumstances, and they're probably different than mine. the key here is that we present our request with thanksgiving to God. And when we are faithful to put fear and anxiety in its proper place, we should and can expect the peace that will follow. I've had many a nights where I lay in bed and I can't sleep because of what I have to face tomorrow. Things going through my mind. The conversation that I have to have with an employee, or whatever the case may be. Things going through my mind and I can't sleep because out of fear and anxiety. So I get up and I walk downstairs and I get on the edge of the couch and I just pray and say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this tomorrow. I need your help. And then in 5 minutes, just falling asleep in the most peaceful state imaginable. It's amazing when you give it to God. It's amazing what happens. We need to expect peace. Paul's word says we can expect peace. As you pray through fear, trouble, adversity, etc., make sure that you are simultaneously hold the expectation that God will come through on his end of the deal. And that's the faith part of it. That's the faith part of it. I believe you can pray without believing. And I believe that there are often times that we pray without actually believing. The situation is so hard that we actually pray to God fully expecting that he isn't going to take care of it. And I believe that happens. Well, I'm going to pray because it seems like the right thing to do. But really, at the end of the day, I don't know. The text says, pray with a thankful heart and expect peace. Expect it. I cannot logically explain peace that transcends all understanding. In my logical mind, I cannot explain that kind of peace, but I can tell you that it's possible because I've experienced it in my own life. And all I can tell you is that it's amazing. But you have to pray believing. You have to pray believing. I've had situations where, everybody has, I suppose, or you pray with somebody. Yeah, you cross paths with somebody, whether it's a coworker. For me, it was oftentimes at camp. Situations where you have the opportunity to pray with somebody. And I love being able to pray with somebody in the moment. But I tell you, the other thing that I always do is I make sure that they pray too. You know, I'm going to pray for the situation for you, but it's really you that needs to pray the prayer and believe it. I can't believe it for you. I can pray on your behalf, but you really need to pray the prayer and believe it for yourself. I'm happy to pray for you, but you need to do it yourself. And I always try and make that a habit. Say, look, I'm going to pray for you right now, but during the prayer, I'm going to stop, and I'm really going to ask you to also pray to God for the same thing. And when you do it, I'm going to ask you to believe it with all your heart and expect that it's going to happen. Later on in Philippians, after Paul says he's learned the secret to being content in every situation, he says, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. That's later in the book of Philippians. First, he says that I've learned the secret of being content. And then later he says, I can do anything or everything through God who gives me strength. Paul knows what we need to know. Paul knows what we need to know. That in the hands of God, through the power of Christ, that anything is possible. Anything is possible. Look, I know there are some here today. I know there are some listening today that have their share of doubts, that have their share of fears, and have their fear or share of anxieties. And rightfully so, as I said, because your life's been difficult. You've been dealt a rotten hand. You had a rough childhood. You had to file for bankruptcy. You lost your home. You lost jobs. Whatever the case may be, fear, anxiety are rampant because of the life you've lived. I know there are some in the sanctuary this morning and some that are tuning in that are facing what seem like impossible situations. Right now, you are in the middle of something that this seems impossible. Like you're looking at it going, I cannot possibly see a positive outcome to this situation. Whether it be a terrifying medical diagnosis or some kind of financial burden or whatever the case may be. You're looking at your bills and you're like, I simply don't have the money or the income or to pay what I owe. And it looks like an impossible situation. And I know that a life free from fear and anxiety seems like it's completely out of touch for you. Completely not reality for you. Things are so difficult that this whole idea of living without fear and anxiety seemed like a foreign concept. There's no way that this can be true for me. I'm glad it worked out for the Apostle Paul, and I'm glad it works out for many other people, but I just don't see how it can work out for me. Believe me, I know there are people out there that are feeling that way. The only thing that I can ask you to do is this. All I can do is ask you to commit this coming week to developing a more faith-filled response in every single circumstance and situation in your life. I said earlier that the difficulty is developing the habit in which you place these troublesome situations and circumstances in the hands of God. I don't know why, but for some reason we like to hold on to those things. We like to hold on to those things. Let's commit together this coming week to changing our habits by letting go of fear, anxiety, worry, and expecting a divine peace that transcends all understanding. Can we commit to that? Can we commit to that together that this week, that every time that situation comes up in our life and that fear and anxiety, that we, in that moment, we immediately give it to God. Now, fortunately, I'm very fortunate, for I've never been one that has really, I just don't get stressed out easy. And I'm generally always at peace. And I think the reason is not because I haven't had troubles in my life. I'm fortunate that they haven't been many. But I've certainly had areas in my life that should bring a great amount of fear and anxiety, and they do. But I've always just been able to just trust God at His Word and just say, look, there's just no need for me to worry about this. And I've actually been accused to the point of being like, well, do you just not care? I mean, do you not see this? I'm like, I do, but I just see, what else can I do? You know, how is fear, how is anxiety, how is allowing this to paralyze me, how is that helpful? It's just not. I've just been able to recognize it and give it to God and know that He's going to take care of it. There's no need for any of us to keep it around for any amount of time, not even for a day, not even for a moment. As soon as you see the situation arise, give it to God. There's no reason, no need to entertain for a while. It doesn't need entertaining. Because I can tell you, fear, anxiety, the troubled situation, or whatever, it's never going to be your friend. It's never going to be your friend. Quit trying to make friends with it. Quit trying to entertain it. Quit trying to keep it around for a while. There's no need for that. It's toxic. Get rid of it. Specifically, I suggest that you take every morning to write out a few prayers similar to the ones I shared in the beginning. Begin and end your day with gratitude. Name your request, give it to the Lord, and trust the process. Throughout the day, as trouble comes, practice the same thing by audibly thanking God and naming your requests to Him. I trust that these small steps, in fact, I don't trust, I know that these small steps will lead to big breakthroughs over time. If we can learn to do that, it will make big breakthroughs in living with fear and anxiety. There is so much unhealthy fear in our world, in our society, in our culture, right now, today. Right now, today, there is so much unhealthy fear. And much of it is for legitimate reasons. Much of it is for legitimate reasons. It's time as we believers recognize it and start putting it in its proper place. Look, it's not going to go away. The fear and anxiety is not ever going to go away, because troubles in your life are never going to go away. But what we can do is start putting them in their proper place, in the hands of God, in the almighty and ever-capable, mighty hands of God. That's what we need to do. Don't expect them to go away. Just figure out a way to give them to the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. And this is what I want to do. I'm going to pray. But before I do that, I'm going to give you just a moment of silence. Because like I said, I can pray for anybody, and I can pray for myself, but it's important for each one of you to also give those requests to God. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this. So we're going to close in prayer and give you a few moments of silence to do that. And when you do it, don't just pray an empty prayer. Pray expecting and believing that God is going to provide. Pray expecting and believing this peace that transcends all understanding as God's word instructs. So let's pray. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Lord, we thank you that your shoulders are big enough and strong enough to bear the weight of each one of our burdens. And Lord, for all those things that were lifted up to you in that moment, Lord, I pray that you would take them and receive them in return, Lord. Pour out a blessing of peace upon those who submitted them to you. Lord, I pray that we would, each of us, commit to immediately giving those things to you when they pop up in our life. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage. I pray that you would give us the boldness, and I pray that you would give us the strength to immediately give those things to you, that we would not befriend them, that we would not entertain them, that we would not even allow them to be part of our life for even just a moment, because they don't belong there. Fear and anxiety of the unhealthy type do not belong to us. They belong in your hands, O Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to do that, to give them to you immediately, so that each of us can live in this peace that transcends all understanding that your word talks about, so that we are not immobilized, so that we are not crippled, so that we are not paralyzed, but that we are set free from fear and anxiety, to live for you and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And it's hard for us to do that when we're crippled by fear. Lord, we ask these things knowing and believing that you can make it so. And we ask them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Certainly would have had. And they were many. We read many of those things that he said. He spelled out, these are the things that I had to deal with. But you know, there was somebody else that also had his own share of fears and anxiety. And I can guarantee you that when Jesus knew what he had to do, he could have easily been crippled by fear. He could have easily been paralyzed by the anxiety. Because I can assure you, that level of fear and anxiety was something that we will never experience. But what he learned to do is give